But you should order these. They were only $10 a volume. And I sent a check for $20 to Goodspeed. I wrote them and asked them about them. They told me they were not in print. But when they came in, they sent me a receipt of my $20. And it says whenever they go back into print, I will send you copies.
Goodspeed in Boston?
Goodspeed in Boston. And so 20 years later, I got the two volumes in the mail. I've forgotten all about it.
Reputable company, weren't they?
Yes.
I'll be in Boston. I'll give them a call.
Okay. Just go by and pick them up. But they're worth reading.
Do you remember any of the other tales Uncle Jewel might have told of the Civil War?
Well, he described the, after the armies, they were firing a long distance, you know. And then when they finally met, the hand-to-hand combat was quite gruesome. He said he'd almost turn and run when he had to stab a young man through the stomach, just a boy, you know. They were out of ammunition, could not use their guns, and it was just their sabers that they had. And it was very bloody, and so they'd swing the swords and chop off their heads and or stick them in the stomach and leave them screaming to die. And they were in a ditch in this side of Richmond in Virginia, a deep ditch. And the Yankees came overrunning the ditch, and they fought them as they came over the edge. They just landed on all these sabers standing up there. And they pulled out on the other side of the ditch and left the ditch full of dead Yankees, and it was running with blood like a river. And so that gruesome sight stayed with him quite a while before he came home. And he didn't, like all others who've seen combat, he didn't talk too much about that. Of course, they were always short of ammunition and always short of provisions, and they lived on hardtack mostly. It was eaten with worms, and whenever they could come across a cow in the woods, they would slaughter it and have a feast. And they even ate some of their mules. They were so hungry. They were carrying the things. They would slaughter them and eat them. And of course, if they had a chance at a stream, they would catch fish. They would just get in there and wade and hem up the fish and catch them. Had no way on their sabers, you know, to stick one if they saw one big enough. And even caught a small alligator once and had the steak from his tail. It was quite palatable. They were just living the best way they could, you know, and drinking water out of the streams. And of course, there's outbreaks of typhoid that killed many, just like the Aunt Millie's, Curry's fiance, young Mathis, had typhoid, and she brought him home herself from the hospital in Virginia and nursed him until he died. She's buried at Fenton Cemetery too. It's Isaac Curry's daughter.
Sister to Lydia.
Half-sister. Because Francis Green was dead and he remarried the Corbett girl. Isom's daughter, well.
So she was the daughter of...
She was the daughter of Isom. And she was much older than Isaac. When Isaac died, and she remarried a Pafford. She's buried at his head out there as Wealthy Pafford, alongside of Isom Corbett and Amelia Stokes. But I've never been able to find anything on the Stokes family at all. There's no trace of them. Evidently he married her in South Carolina. I believe that's where they came from. But Aunt Millie was named for, and nicknamed Millie, of course. She had two girls by him, Elizabeth and Amelia.